see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
God's blessings and welcome to Walking in Faith. We are in the fourth week of Easter, and this week we proclaim, the merciful love of the Lord fills the earth. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Alleluia. Our prayer this week, Almighty ever-living God, lead us to share in the joys of heaven so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We entrust ourselves to God, the Father, who judges justly and holds us firmly in his hand. With hearts filled with confidence, we pray for the bishops and the shepherds of the church, that they will be filled with the zeal and have the heart of Christ, the Good Shepherd. We pray that those who govern will favor truth, justice, and a commitment to peace. We also pray for all mothers, that through the intercession of the Mother of God, the Lord will bless them and reward them for their sacrifices and love. We pray for those who have gone astray like sheep, that they will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, the guardian of their souls. We pray for all of the faithfully departed, that they may enjoy eternal life with Christ risen from the dead. And we pray for the grace this week to hear and follow the voice of Jesus in all we do. Loving Father, you sent your Son and raised him from the dead so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Keep us obedient to our new life in him through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in the news this week, Philadelphia became front and center of the pro-life movement when a PA state rep, Brian Sims, harassed a woman praying a rosary silently outside of an abortion clinic on Locust Street. He also came up and harassed a number of young women and a man praying silently outside of the clinic as well. It sparked a national outrage. And blogger Matt Walsh has asked that there be a rally on Friday, May 10th at 11 a.m. outside the clinic to support the pro-life cause. An online GoFundMe site has already raised close to $70,000 for the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia in response to this PA state rep's behavior outside of the clinic. And Archbishop Charles Chaput has also weighed in on the matter. He writes, over the past few days, videos have gone viral on social media, featuring State Representative Brian Sims aggressively harassing young and elderly women who were peacefully praying outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Philadelphia. These videos, which Representative Sims took himself, have rightly sparked broad outrage and garnered much attention in the press. His actions were unbecoming of an elected official. He also goes on to say there is much bitter irony that he claims to be a champion for the rights of all women, yet he trampled on the rights of others and disgracefully shamed them in public. It was particularly disdainful, Archbishop Chaput said, that he offered a bounty for the identity and home addresses of three young ladies in order to encourage protests at their homes. And Archbishop Chaput went on to say, our country is one founded on democratic principles and civil discourse in the public square. Our elected officials represent all of their constituents, not just the ones with whom they agree. Representative Sims spoke often of shame, and there was plenty of that to be found in his actions, which demonstrated a complete disregard for civility and basic human decency. And Archbishop Chaput went on to say, I'm calling on all people of goodwill to channel their indignation into right action and prayerful witness. Live Action has organized a prayerful rally that will take place this Friday, May 10th, outside the Planned Parenthood Clinic at 12th and Locust Street here in Philadelphia at 11 a.m. And Archbishop Chaput went on to say, I'm encouraging broad participation in this peaceful initiative. Let us meet the hateful actions of Representative Sims with the love of Christ, and let us fervently pray for respect for life from conception until natural death. And again, that's a statement by Archbishop Charles Chaput. Also in the news this week, St. Augustine Parish will hold a premier gala to support its capital campaign seeking to raise funds for preservation of its historic church building. Jay Wright, Villanova's men's basketball head coach, will serve as the keynote speaker, and Jim Murray, former Eagles general manager, will be the master of ceremonies and auctioneer. This gala is taking place on Saturday, June 1st from 5 to 9 p.m. at Villanova University's Finneran Pavilion at 800 East Lancaster Avenue in Villanova. St. Augustine Roman Catholic Church, located at 4th and Vine Street in the Old City of Philadelphia, is the city's fourth oldest Catholic church. It has a rich history with deep roots in the Philadelphia community, and Villanova University grew into existence from the original St. Augustine Academy. Additionally, the last Philadelphia performance of Handel's Messiah was performed at the church by the predecessors of the Philadelphia Orchestra. The parish embarked on its capital campaign in order to preserve its historic buildings and to build an enduring future for the Augustinian friars, parishioners, and neighbors throughout Philadelphia. And proceeds from this campaign will fund critical restoration work for the facade, precious artwork, facility windows, and much more. You can find tickets at www.st-augustinechurch.com/gala. And we'll take a quick break and be right back with Father Dennis Gill. He's here to talk about his new Sword and Cross event that's coming up. This is a major fundraiser for the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, so you want to hear that. And later on in the show, we'll have Curtis Martin from Fellowship of Catholic University Students and some more information on that rally coming up on Friday. That's tomorrow, May 10th, at the Planned Parenthood Clinic on Locust Street in Philadelphia. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. You are listening to Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown and 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County.
We would understand. You are the rock of salvation, the only foundation, Lord of all. You are our hope, never failing, a mighty fortress is our God.
Welcome back. Joining us right now is Tom Stevens. He is the president and CEO of the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Well, Philadelphia became front and center of the national news this week simply because people were praying in front of an abortion facility. They were repeatedly harassed by a state official, a Pennsylvania state representative. Tell us a little bit more about this story.
Well, he's been doing it for several years, and he's done it to me twice in the past 40 days for life program during the spring and Lent. And this time, though, he did it on camera and put it on social media. So he did it twice. Once was, of course, with a woman for 8+ minutes where he is just in her face, except she's turning her back and eventually saying, take the camera away, turn it off. He just is calling her all kinds of names and really verbal abuse, and it's on camera, and it's a state rep. And then the next one is a mother and her teens and some friends, and the worst part of it and the thing that is most upsetting to the nation and to me personally and us as an organization is that the teens, he's saying, I'll give $100 to anybody who will identify these teens, and that just crosses a lot of lines, not just moral and decency lines, but also probably lines of illegal activity.
Tom, you're saying this is long-standing behavior on the part of this elected official. He apparently lives close to the clinic, but you have been a target of his ire as well?
Yes. Now, I didn't know he was a Pennsylvania state rep, nor have most others, but yeah, multiple people have experienced this from him. Same types of tirades and words are, you know, shame on you, and when I came home recently from a date out in front of Planned Parenthood, I told my wife, I never was called a white old man before, and I think of myself as pretty young, so we had a laugh out of it. But our recommendation and what I do, our recommendation to all the sidewalk servants out there is always to not respond, to ignore, to be quiet. Some people it does make very angry or agitated to have people in your face like that, and we would recommend if you can't control your experience out in front of any abortion clinic around. But we recommend that if you feel like you can't take that behavior without becoming overly angry, that you need to walk away, or if you're in an angry mood on the day you're scheduled, don't go, because prayer, peace, kindness, love wins the day every day.
Is this a rare occurrence, or does this happen all the time?
So I would say yes and no. These kind of things have always occurred, but I think that the important message that really needs to be clear is that they're very rare, that they're extremely rare, that more often than not, that when people are out praying and witnessing and doing counseling of women outside of abortion centers, it's a very peaceful, quiet, prayerful experience. One of our concerns as Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia, we don't want people to see this going national or see some of the other things that are the bad news, the bad examples, and to have a false sense that this is occurring all the time, because it is certainly not. Sure, there is a lot of angst over this issue on both sides, and once in a while it becomes out of hand, but that's certainly rare.
Well, certainly enough that this man has been making it a habit to come out and intimidate people. I know I have often, when I am outside of the Warminster Clinic, I know a lot of the times they're just snapping your photos. It's an intimidation factor without a doubt.
That's right. And if you ever go down to where the most abortions occur in the state of Pennsylvania, which is Philadelphia Women's Center at 777 Apple Tree, they're always videotaping the escorts and security for that Philadelphia Women's Center. They're always intimidating by doing that, taking pictures and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. Tom, talk a little bit about what's going on tomorrow, Friday, this rally that is sort of coalesced nationally.
Sure. Well, it's a big event. It's been a spontaneous event. You know, it started on Monday, and here we are Friday. And yesterday, Archbishop Chaput was sending out a message to the Archdiocese, plus to all the priests, to encourage folks to go out and attend this event, because it's a big issue, both for religious freedom as well as for pro-life and human dignity and rights. And so tomorrow, I expect will be thousands and some from around the country, and certainly from the local neighboring states. The event is going to be at 11 a.m. and there'll be an hour worth of speakers that includes Abby Johnson, who Unplanned, the movie, was based upon her life. Lila Rose from Live Action. Matt Walsh, who is a well-known author and person in the news media who has been conservative and pro-life for a long time. And then two of Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia's board of director members, Rashara Kajewski, who's from St. Raymond's, and she'll be speaking on our behalf, and then Dr. Monique Ruberu, who is a great speaker, a pro-life OBGYN, and she was the founder of Sidewalk Servants, whose goal is to get the Center City abortion centers covered every hour throughout the year, whenever there's a event or open abortion center.
And we should point out, this isn't an eye for an eye. It's really just we'd love to be in dialogue with anyone who wants to disagree, but this is really just a peaceful rally that is supporting those who are outside of clinics praying silently and prayerfully and looking for a change in the attitudes of those going in to have an abortion.
Absolutely. And we really want to encourage people who are participating tomorrow and who are going is to remember that's our goal. Is one is to take a stand and to say it's our right, it's our lawful right to express also to express our concern for women, families, and unborn babies at abortion centers. But we're there to peacefully express that and to prayerfully. We don't need to be yelling, screaming, and chanting. We just need to be present and to be a Christian witness and to be there just to let folks know that we're not going to back down, but rather we're going to stand up for life.
Right. And the message is love. I mean, it really is that God loves you unconditionally and the life within you and those who are the escorts.
That's right. And the message for Representative Sims isn't one of anger, hatred, certainly not hatred, but rather, I'm a child of God. The unborn babies are children of God. The moms are children of God. And you're a child of God. And we love you. We bless you. We're concerned for you. We forgive you. We want you to act properly. But it's love. It's kindness. Nothing but that. And it's that kind of love that is what drew Abby Johnson out of being a director of a Planned Parenthood. And that's the kind of love that's going to win the day.
I know that there's been a GoFundMe page set up and there's already $70,000 pledged on that. Maybe an old number because I only looked at it yesterday. But what is the Pro-Life Union going to do with that money?
Well, we have initiatives set up. Our vision is to see a abortion-free Greater Philadelphia and a euthanasia-free Greater Philadelphia. So our first mission is to buy the building that we have a home for single women. Right now we have a home that's not owned by us, and we'd like to buy that building, and we've already set that in motion, and so that this helps us to reach that goal.
Oh, good.
But then we have educational initiatives right now that are to give parishes packages of educational materials for pro-life issues, and we're working on those right now. But those nice need to be well done so that they'll be able to be used for the future. And we're also doing packages for high school teachers. We'd love to be in the public high schools, but right now our key initiative is towards the Catholic high schools. Just so there would be a toolkit for teachers to be able to present to pro-life the pro-life messages, and then we continue to build our outreach programs, and we're buying used iPads or having them donated so that we can be out on the streets on college campuses and in parks to just approach people and say, do you realize what's going on? And can we have a two-on-two conversation about that? So we have a lot of initiatives. We need to fund those initiatives, of course, and so this will help with that. And then we continue to give away thousands and thousands of diapers and clothing and all the rest to support moms and support moms also financially for their initial rent if they've been facing homelessness and that kind of thing.
If people want to make a donation, Tom, where do they go?
Well, there's two places you can go. You can go to that GoFundMe site, which you could find in our social media, or you could go to the Pro-Life Union Give page.
Okay. Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Many of you know them as the Stand Up for Life dinner organizers and sponsors, and it's a great event. And Tom, we thank you so much for your time. Any advice on people who are thinking of going to this rally in terms of parking or driving or subwaying or what? Is there any sense of what it looks like? It's going to be a big crowd. Parking may not be readily available. What is your advice?
So I recommend tonight that you use Spot Hero, a great app on your phone if your smartphone handy, and pick a spot nearby, a parking lot, and secure your spot tonight, and you'll get it at a cheaper, at $12 for the day, or $15. Plan to come early, plan to hit some traffic, just because there's always traffic in Philadelphia, and take public transportation if you can, if you're used to that, of course, but expect a good day, and expect that you might have the normal inconveniences that you would if you
Thank you so much, Tom. We appreciate all that advice and for all that you do at the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thanks for the time.
All
God
right.
bless.
Bye-bye. Thanks. And we'll take a short break and be right back.
Just catch my heart, then we can part from the past. Let the days of the new love start, because love
is a beautiful thing that brings together people of every generation. La, 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 la. Love can heal the pain of a broken world. It's got to start with us, and all it takes is love.
Love is a beautiful thing, your love is beautiful.
Well, I've got
to the past, so we can bask in the rays. Let the days of the new love last, because
love is a beautiful thing that brings together people of every generation. La, 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 la. Love can heal the pain of a broken world. It's got to start with us, and all it takes is love. I couldn't see it coming, I couldn't see it fall. Never knew a love like this before. I'm so glad.
Say all you need is love to bring about change, and all you need is one to ignite the flame. And if it's so, group one will be the first to say, now we lighting up this torch and running in love's name. We searched around the globe and even looked to the stars, tried to fill the void with money and nice cars, took advice from songs in the top 10 charts, and never realized that it starts in our heart.
Because love is a beautiful thing, y'all.
Welcome back. Joining us right now is Father Dennis Gill, and he is, as you know, the rector of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul, and here to talk about his upcoming Key and Sword event. This is the primary fundraiser for the cathedral. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Barbara, and I'm so happy to have this opportunity to speak to you and to all those listening to your program. The annual Keys and Sword event is a very important occasion for the Mother Church of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We revived it 3 years ago, and it takes its name from the symbols for St. Peter and St. Paul, the keys for St. Peter and the sword for St. Paul. And this year it's happening on June 28th, 2019, at the Logan Hotel, right across the street from the Cathedral Basilica. And the purpose of this fundraiser is to raise awareness all throughout the Archdiocese, all throughout the Delaware Valley, of the role of the Mother Church for Catholics and for all people, and how we all have a responsibility to provide for it. It's a very small parish. That's just one part of the life of the Cathedral Basilica, but it's also the church for everyone. And that part of the work of the Cathedral Basilica needs financial assistance. And so our Keys and Sword event, we hope, will attract a lot of people to support us. And there are different ways to support us. You can make a donation outright. You can take an ad in the ad book, which will be published at the time of the event in June, and also which will rest on our website for the year. Or you can purchase a ticket, or do all three. What we want to do is to, every year, build on this event so that more and more people are aware of the cathedral, and there's a growing responsibility to support her. Our last two were very successful. Our goal is to raise $300,000+, and the meal on the 28th is for 300 people. One of the things that we do, Barbara, is that we don't take all the money to ourselves. Each year, we tithe. We give about 10% to a needy Catholic group in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. 3 years ago, we made a very generous donation to the St. Francis Inn in Kensington. Last year, our concern was the Hawthorne Dominican Sisters and the work that they do caring for terminally ill cancer patients. And this year, we're going to make a donation to the Cristo Rey High School, which really does a wonderful job helping kids in high-risk situations to be prepared for college and to have successful careers. So I hope that your listeners will, of course, pray for the work of our Cathedral Basilica and all of its ministries, but might see this as an invitation to support us financially, especially for our Keys and Sword event 2019. You can find all the information that you need about our Keys and Sword event 2019 on the Cathedral Basilica website. There's a special section for the Keys and Sword event, which explains everything that I just detailed in these past few minutes. So Barbara, I thank you very much for this opportunity to help get the word out about our Keys and Sword event, and ask you and your readers to pray for its great success this year.
And I want to just point out, that's cathedralphila.org, cathedralphila.org. And that's where you're going to find the Keys and Sword event. It's again Friday, June 28th from 6:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Logan Philadelphia Hotel. That's 1 Logan Square in Philadelphia. Father, you're saying that's very close to the cathedral?
It's directly across the street from the cathedral.
Okay. You can sponsor the event. You can purchase an individual, or you can buy a table of tickets, which is always a great social event if you can gather like 10 or 12 people for your table. You can also purchase an ad in the event program. And if that's a date where you're away, you've got, you know, June is a month where there's a lot going on, you can simply click on and make your donation. And they, again, 10% of that money is going to be going not only to the cathedral, but Cristo Rey High School. And Father,
this year.
I know in years past you've honored certain people. Is there going to be an honoree this year? Or
when the Keys and Sword event was first conceived, it was to honor a single person. And after some years, the old Keys and Sword event sort of took a pause, a break. When we revived it 3 years ago, we decided no longer to take that approach, but rather to share our blessings. And so that's what we've been doing. That's what we did the last 2 years, and that's what we'll do this year and next.
Perfect. Okay, again, cathedralphila.org. And thank you so much, Father, for all you do and your beautiful liturgies.
Oh, you're welcome, Barbara. And I hope that I can speak to your readers again about our Remain in My Love. We have our large group sessions coming up in June, and we want as many people from throughout the Archdiocese to be a part of it. And again, that information for Remain in My Love can be found on the website for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia.
Well, we'll have to have you back. Maybe next week
Wonderful.
We can talk about that. Wonderful.
That would be great.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Alrighty.
God bless you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, as promised, I wanted to bring you the final talks of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast that happened right after Easter. This is a talk featuring Curtis Martin of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and he's talking about a new Catholic awakening in the United States. Take a listen.
Happy Easter. It's great to be with you all, those who are watching and listening on the radio, those in the room. I'm excited to be with you. They told me that they just cut my talk down in size, so I'm going to speak more quickly. I'm not going to use vowels. No. I'm honored and thrilled to be here. I want to leave just a brief message with you that hopefully will be one of challenge and invitation and finally hope. We are told by St. Augustine that we live in a world of two cities. These cities are not geographic entities. They're spread throughout the world, and we live side by side. In the one city, the city of man, there are people who love themselves so much that they're willing to deny even God. And in the other city, side by side, the city of God, there are people who love God so much that they're willing to deny even themselves. And the amazing thing is, these two cities have been in war from the beginning of time, from the fall. And it continues on, and it will last until our Lord comes back. But the battle actually even extends into our own hearts. Living in the city of God, I hope every day, there's still part of the city of man in my heart as well. And I have to be able to attack that and go to war with it so that I can live wholeheartedly for God. The beauty is that the people in the city of man also have a spark of the city of God in their hearts. Why Abby's words are so important. We are about trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to build on a theme that Mark Twain gave me. I read it years ago. He says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. And I'd like to take a look at salvation history very briefly and point out where I think we are in the rhyme and what the next step is. There's a pattern in salvation history that goes back into the age of the patriarchs and through the prophets and all the way into the New Testament. And it begins by this. There's several steps. God graciously offers us covenant. He establishes his people. We don't deserve his covenant. We don't deserve his love. We could never deserve it. But he offers it freely. And then he welcomes us into the family. And then he does what any good father would do. He blesses his children. The second step is that he brings blessings. And the third step, we get distracted by the blessings and forget the giver of the gift and get distracted by the gift itself. So we forsake the covenant. We forsake the covenant, and then we begin to suffer. God's people suffer. If you're marking where we are in the cycle, we're right here. The good news is the next step in the cycle is great news. And so I want to look at that because finally, God's people in the midst of their suffering cry out to God for mercy. And he hears them and he offers mercy. And he renews the covenant. And we live in right relationship and blessing again. And I believe as we stand here in our nation's capital, looking at a nation that is torn in many ways, that embraces infanticide, we see terrorism, the breakdown of the family. We've heard the litany earlier today. We all know the stories and the difficult times, the suffering that we're going through. And the question is, what's our response? What's our response? Because the issue is God is exceedingly patient, exceedingly so. But he's also almost unnervingly patient. It's amazing how long he waits. We've just gotten through with Lent, and we read in the book of Daniel during Lent about a couple of incidents that show how patient God is. In the beginning of Daniel, we meet Ananias and Azariah and Mishael, and they will not worship the false gods. And God could have rescued them right away. He could have knocked the king dead and delivered them right at the beginning. But that's not the way our God works. And that's important for us to know because he's not going to be quick with us either, but he will be responsive and faithful. And to recognize, they actually had to stand trial before the king, be condemned to death, and they still didn't get rescued. Then they were tossed into the burning flames, and then they were saved. In the midst of the burning flames, they were preserved. They had to endure all kinds of hardship and difficulty and anxiety over what might happen. And they trusted. They said, well, we trust that God could save us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your God. We're going to be true. And all of that challenge, the grief, And what it does is it purifies our hearts like gold tested in fire, in their cases, literally. And to be able to see that the God is there. And when they do, we see this amazing statement by Azariah. In the fires, these are good guys, three really great men, but what they do, and I'm speaking to a room and to a world of really good people who would pay attention to a Catholic prayer breakfast, but we have to own the sins of our culture and stand with them. This is what they say. These are the best of men. But that Azariah says this, we have sinfully and lawlessly departed from thee and have sinned in all things and have not obeyed the commandments. For thy name's sake, do not give us up utterly, and do not break your covenant, and do not withdraw your mercy from us. A little later in the book of Daniel, Susanna is the object of false accusations. And God doesn't come to arrest you right away. The false accusers actually get their day in court and appear to have won. In fact, she's condemned, and it's as she's being led out to be executed that Daniel is inspired by the Holy Spirit to stand up and say, I want to ask a question of these two men. And he proves them to be false accusers, and they suffer the fate that she was going to. God is unbelievably patient, unnervingly patient. He will wait. Think about what we just celebrated this week. In his destruction of the devil and his kingdom, Jesus was lying lifeless and cold in a tomb. That's a long wait. Things looked absolutely hopeless. And the greatest, the foundation of all of our other hopes in his resurrection occurs. And this is who we are. To understand this pattern, to recognize that as we're suffering because we as a people have turned our back on God's covenant, have broken so many of the things we've been asked to. Bishop Olmsted spoke beautifully about the breaking of vows, whether it's the breaking of the marital vows, the scandals in the church, the abuse of contraception. We as a people have not been faithful to Christ. But the answer is not for us to start trying harder. This is the great news. It's not that we should start trying harder. I'm looking at over 1,000 people who try really, really hard. It's not that you try harder. We don't need to work harder. We need to fall farther to our knees to beg God, because he's the one who will do the work. He's the only one that can bring the renewal to this nation. So where are we now? Let's go back to that cycle and see another rhyme in history. There's a pattern that we'll see in history. In fact, it's interesting. A theologian wrote an exegesis on the book of Revelation, and he says this, David Chilton, from the first book of the Bible to the last, this is the basic warfare in history. The dragon is at war with the woman and her seed. And it's true in Genesis 3, just after the fall, we see the prediction of warfare between the woman and her seed and the devil and his seed. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, the dragon was angry with the woman and went off and made war on the rest of her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. There's this pattern. See, the devil can't see into the future, but he's a genius. He's brilliant. So he sees where things are trending. And when he sees that his kingdom is at risk, he attacks. We saw it, for example, when Pharaoh was inspired by the devil to kill the Hebrew male children. And many, many Hebrew male children were killed. But Moses escaped and brought about liberation to the people of God. Years later, Herod, another evil leader, is inspired by the devil to kill the holy innocents. But Jesus escapes and becomes the savior of the world. I believe where we are in the process here is that the devil, when he knows that great things are coming, tries to attack the unborn and the newly born. And this generation of young people are the greatest survivors of a Holocaust against the unborn and the newly born in the history of the world. Some people say, what's wrong with this young generation? There's nothing wrong with this young generation. We need to proclaim the gospel to them, because when they wake up, they will vanquish the devil in this generation. We need to understand these are chosen young people. They're survivors by God's design. And the design does not mean just to breathe. It means to triumph in Christ. So what does this mean for us? be able to sit back and say, we're walking through the scandals, the breakdown of the family, infanticide. We just saw anti-Catholic terrorism. There's gender confusion, the loss of faith in general. It's our time, and I would appeal to you at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. In the United States, we've been blessed. At different times, we've lost our way spiritually, and we've experienced great awakenings, several of them in our history, usually inspired by evangelical Protestants who call people to fall to their knees and beg God for mercy. I appeal to you today as brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be a great time for a Catholic great awakening where we would be the first to lead our way by falling on our knees to God and begging for mercy? I would invite you to join me in a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we have turned our back on your covenant. We have been wayward in our thoughts and in our hearts and in our ways. And we come before you, Lord, ourselves and also all of those, our brothers and sisters, begging you to shower mercy on us, to renew your covenant with us, to allow us to experience the transformation that you've brought about so many times. But this time, in our lifetime, a way that would show that you, Lord, are the only cause of this renewal. You, Lord, are the cause of renewal in us and then through us to the rest of the world. We have our trust in you, Lord, because you have risen. You have truly risen. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Curtis.
And we'll take a quick break and be right back.
Beneath every doubt, there's redemption. Beyond what we see, he's at work. Before we believe, he hurts. When we're hurting, he works in mysterious ways. Above all the chaos, there's order.
As I said, Abby Johnson will be speaking tomorrow at the rally on Locust Street in Philadelphia, the pro-life rally that is going to be the response to those who think they can come out and harass people praying peacefully outside of these abortion clinics. sort of been billed as a stand-up-to-bully kind of event, and so far has raised at least $70,000 for the Pro-Life Union of Greater Philadelphia. Well, earlier this week, Abby Johnson spoke at the March for Life in Canada. She talked a lot about what was the impetus for her leaving the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Texas, where she worked. This is the subject of the film Unplanned. And she also exhorted all of us to work for the pro-life cause in whatever sphere of influence we can. So I'll bring you that interview right now.
I'm from Texas, so howdy. Obviously, I'm from Texas because I didn't bring a coat. So I was forced to wear one by somebody else. So anyway, it's really good to be here with all of you tonight. It's so good to see so many young people here. We are excited about bringing the film Unplanned to Canada. And yep, it's time for the world to see what I saw. It's time for the world to see what happens inside of these abortion facilities. And it's time for us as a pro-life collective to begin speaking out fearlessly in the defense of the unborn and their mothers. Because there's so many young people here, I actually want to describe to you the event that changed my life and caused me to leave Planned Parenthood, our world's biggest abortion provider. I had been called into a room to assist with a 13-week abortion. 13 weeks is still in the first trimester when the bulk of abortions are performed in your country and in mine. At that time, I was asked to hold an ultrasound probe on the woman's abdomen so the doctor would be able to see the baby as it was aborted, as it was killed. We did the measurements, we found the baby was 13 weeks, and by 13 weeks, despite what people tell you, science confirms for us that by 13 weeks, everything on the unborn child is completely formed. Arms, legs, fingers, toes, heart is beating, brain waves are active. Every single internal organ that we stand here with today is already formed on the unborn child by 13 weeks gestation. Outside the womb, the baby is only a few inches long, and we can even tell if it's a boy or a girl at that time. I stood there looking nervously at what was on the ultrasound monitor because I recognized that what I was seeing actually looked like a baby. It couldn't be, because that's what abortion science has taught us. Abortion science has taught us that if a pregnancy is unwanted, then that pregnancy is just simply tissue, trash, something to be discarded. They have taught us that a pregnancy is only valuable. A pregnancy only becomes a baby when the mother decides that baby is wanted. There is nothing more unscientific than the abortion movement. But I stood there looking at this monitor, feeling nervous, feeling apprehensive, and I watched a suction cannula. It looks like a straw. It's open on both ends. That's what actually hooks up to the larger suction machine. I watched that go into the woman's uterus. I could see it getting closer and closer to the side of this baby. And when it finally touched his side, he jumped. And this baby began flailing his arms and legs as if he was trying to move away from the abortion instrument. But there was nowhere for him to go. He was trapped inside of his mother's womb, the place that should be the safest for an unborn child to live. When the doctor had the suction tube in the right position, he asked the technician to turn on the suction machine. And it was at that time I could see the legs become dismembered from the child's body. And then the arms. And the final thing that I saw in that woman's womb that day was a perfectly formed, tiny backbone swirling and floating around inside his mother's uterus. And in just an instant, just like that, it was suctioned away. And the uterus was empty. I knew at that time that what I had seen was not a choice. That child was given no choice that day. And I knew based on statistics that if the women who walked inside of our clinics were actually given options and not pushed to have abortions, abortion wouldn't have been their choice either. But we weren't there to offer options to women. We were there to offer abortion, because abortion is what made us money. What is happening inside of the abortion facilities and hospitals here in Canada, along with what is happening inside of the abortion facilities and hospitals in the United States, is abuse. It is abuse of the unborn. It is the ultimate form of bullying. And these providers are willing to bully innocent unborn children till death. Now is the time for you to speak up. Especially you, young people. You have the opportunity to actually be agents of change in your society. You have the opportunity to speak up inside of your schools. That may not be seen as something that you should do. Do it anyway. Because there should be no fear when we are protecting the rights of the innocent. We should have no fear when we are defending and attacking injustice, and when we are defending the unborn. We should be proud. We should be ready to take the ramifications, the consequences. We should be ready to do whatever we need to do to fight for those who have no voice. Stop letting fear keep you from speaking the truth about this issue. I see a lot of signs here that say pray to end abortion, and that's fine. Pray to end abortion. But you know what? I don't want you to just pray. Because if you tell me I'm praying to end abortion, but you're not actually doing anything to end abortion, I'm going to question the sincerity of your prayer life. You know, people say to me, oh, I pray to end abortion all the time. And I have to believe that God is not sitting up there saying, well, you know, I would end abortion, but I haven't heard enough prayers from Susan. Prayer is not like the lottery. Let me be clear. God hates abortion. He abhors all that is evil, and abortion is evil. It is the epitome of evil in our society. I think that every time we ask the Lord to end abortion, he looks at us and says, okay, let's end abortion. Let's do something. Be my hands and feet. Be my mouthpiece. Guys, yes, we have to do this, but even more than this, we have to do this. How are you willing to live out your prayer life? How much are you willing to sacrifice for the unborn? Whatever it is, do more of it. Lives are literally hanging in the balance. These babies are depending on your voice and your action, not just your prayers. They're depending on you to act, to sacrifice, to serve, to do something. One of the things that I think about all the time was that the fact that I had the opportunity to step in and intervene on behalf of this 13-week-old child that I watched be killed in front of my eyes, and I did nothing. This tragedy of abortion is rampant in your country and in mine. Don't allow this opportunity to pass you by. Don't allow any opportunity to stand up for the unborn to pass you by. Use every opportunity you can. God did not place you here on earth to win some sort of popularity contest, to see how many friends you can gather on Instagram. He sent you here to evangelize his truth. And his truth is the gospel of life. Do it. Speak it every chance you can. Thank you all so much.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this week on Walking in Faith, and we'll be back again with you next week.